Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
No one is more locked in. From Thursday to Monday, no one is more locked into the NFL than First and Pod, hosted by Danny Parkins and Andrew Filippone.
All right, First and Pod, Danny Parkins, Andrew Filippone, ahead of week four after Thursday night football. Bengals get the win over the Dolphins. You know the drill. Every team, every game, subscribe, rate, review. Tell a friend. Pony, I'm sure we'll talk a little about the football, but the story of the game, the week, and to this point, the season in the NFL is what happened to Tua and what the NFL and the Dolphins did or did not do for him. What do you believe the fallout from this is going to be? Let's start there.
I think the Dolphins team doctors are going to get scapegoated. I think it's all going to be get put on them. I think there's enough information that's out there now. I saw Michael Smith or Michael David Smith from Pro Football Talk talking about how, in the end, these team doctors have to make subjective decisions about what neurological symptoms are. And so I think that's going to give the league and the Players Association the ammunition they need to basically put it on those entities and those people and make them the bad guys in all this. I don't think the NFL, broader issues here about Thursday night football and stuff like that will not get answered by this. They'll pay all that stuff lip service. They might come up with like a new rule or two to the concussion protocol, but in the end, the league won't actually answer for it. And I think that somebody who works for the Dolphins and has been part of their medical staff, one of their team doctors is going to get fired over this.
Well, I don't know, man. I feel like the NFL's, like, if a new rule comes out of it, that's significant, because that would be admitting that something is wrong in the process. And the concussion protocol, the part when I was reading it, if the team physician, in consultation with the sideline UNC, the unaffiliated neurologist consultant, determines the instability to be neurologically caused, the player is designated a no-go and may not return to play. The NFLPA has launched an investigation into what happened in the Bills game. And so an unaffiliated neurologist was somehow able to determine, allegedly, that him staggering on the field and falling was due to a back injury and not a head injury. And so all week long, he wasn't even in the concussion protocol. if they find out that that diagnosis was wrong from the Buffalo game, and then he was playing off of a concussion for this one, I think that could lead to some changes in the protocol. And I'd like to know who the unaffiliated neurologist was from the Buffalo game, because we all saw it with our eyes.
Right. So then that person, so then that person's going to get fired.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I feel like what happened tonight was horrifying and scary television. And I thought Amazon did a terrible job.
With what?
They didn't put it into context. Like, the first thing was they kept showing the replay. It was a graphic injury. And at that point, we didn't know if he was dying on the field. Like, I don't need an instant replay there. Al Michaels talking about the fingers as if it was like potentially a finger injury without knowing about the fencing reaction to a brain trauma is just a terrible job by the production truck. And then at halftime, I thought that Ryan Fitzpatrick was emotional as a former teammate of his, but no one at halftime mentioned what happened in the Bills game. Like, they didn't put it into the context of this.
I don't think they wanted to. I mean, it's obvious. You and I were watching NFL Network before we came on and did this. It's clear to me that the league either instructed or the people that are on the air are under the impression that if they go after the league for this, that they're going to get reprimanded. There's no other explanation for me for the way that it was covered at halftime. And then I didn't watch the Amazon post game, so I'm not going to speak to what they did.
Apparently the Amazon post game was pretty good because Michael Smith went on there and he has journalism credentials. Apparently Michael Smith, you mentioned Michael David Smith from Pro Football Talk, but Michael Smith, formerly of ESPN and the Boston Globe, he apparently did a very good job on the Amazon postgame. I'm with you. I went to NFL Network because I thought they were going to show postgame in entirety. They showed two clips.
I heard Steve Smith, who has an opinion on everything, say everyone has an opinion on this and it doesn't count or matter. Yeah, that's because you're working for a channel that has the NFL shield in the bottom right-hand corner.
Right.
That's why no one. I thought whoever called out and look, it sucks, but it's true. I mean, the whole reason why they're playing this game on Amazon, they want this to be a raging success. So they don't want the whole theme of the show to be something that is about the whole like integrity of playing games like on a short week. They're not going to make like they're airing a game that is on a Thursday. So they're not going to attack the issue of should there be Thursday games? That's just a non-starter. But like, it's obvious a conflict of interest, or at least he looks hypocritical when Richard Sherman, who was like the most outspoken player in the league about Thursday games, is now taking Thursday night football money. But you know what else? I don't know if you saw this. They did one of those fun sit downs with Tua in Fitzpatrick that was probably taped Wednesday. Like, those guys were playing the ukuleles together and busting each other's balls. And like, I don't even think there was a discussion at all about what happened in the game on Sunday. It was like, la-di-da, you're 3-0. You got benched for me a couple years ago. Isn't life great now?
Yeah, Fitzpatrick mentioned the piece that he did, and they did do it Wednesday night. He said he spent a couple hours with him yesterday. I didn't see the piece.
Danny, we all failed on this. I mean, not that like we're entertainers more than anything else. We're not journalists, but you know, like talk show hosts and markets and national media, they can, you know, control a lot of the narrative and sometimes force decisions to get made and stuff. Like, we all kind of made fun of the fact that it was a back injury that he left the Sunday game and came back and played with. And I think people kind of said this week, hey, he shouldn't be playing in Thursday's game. But like, a lot of it was hindsight where he got hurt and then everybody came out and said, look,
of course. And I find that to be useless. Like grandstanding by media members. And I'm not saying that they're wrong, but it doesn't help anything. Like, if you said it on the front end, good for you. But I mean, Mike McDaniel's going to catch a ton of heat here.
I don't think so.
Oh, he's going to, man.
No, I think he gets a pass.
You remember the clip that you know, like Mike Tomlin keeping Ryan Clark?
Yeah.
Out of the game in Denver, like
with the stem cell stuff.
Yeah.
With the sickle cell. I mean, excuse me, sickle cell.
I think that Mike McDaniel's going to catch a ton of heat. And I don't think it's entirely fair.
No, I think they're going to blame the doctors here. I don't think he's going to get caught up in all this.
I think he is, but I think that the, I think everyone's going to point at each other, and a lot of people will say, "Hey, an NFL organization, it starts and stops with the head coach, and he's got to protect his player from himself. We all have eyes. We saw what it was." But he's going to say, "Hey, man, Tua never showed any symptoms in these meetings. On the, and by the way, none of us are doctors. He went to a hospital, and they're releasing him, and he's flying home tonight. Do we think that that's a bad idea? I saw that getting criticized on Twitter. Like, everyone on Twitter all of a sudden is an MD. Like, all I know is last week looked like a neurological issue, and tonight was terrifying. And it feels like those two things, the second one being 4 days after the first one, means that Tua might have some serious problems going forward.
I almost feel like regardless of what advice the doctors give the Dolphins coaching staff in front office now, they're going to sit him in the next game.
Oh my God, dude. I bet you he's out for weeks.
Me too. Yeah, I think the optics would just be too bad of playing him like a week or two from now.
Yeah.
I think they're going to play it super safe with him, almost no matter what.
And I think they should. And the heat on this, because it was a standalone game, like, you know, J.J. Watt was talking about stop showing replays. I saw, like, Matthew Judon, he shouldn't be on the field. Trey Burton, he shouldn't be out there. There's just, like, players, like, past and present of varying degrees of prestige all weighing in. And not just with, like, prayers up for Tua.
Yeah.
With, like, scathing commentaries of concussions, team doctors. And I saw some players going after the NFLPA for, like, not being stronger. Like, oh, we'll just do an investigation. And that they should have, like, proactively said that he couldn't play in this game. So there's going to be a ton of fallout from it. My only, like, real football thing was I didn't think Cincy was all that impressive. Like, they won handily. I bet them. It was fine. But Burrow was not sharp. And I think if Tua doesn't get hurt and some of those play calls with 19-yard field goals, like,
yeah,
that game, it did not feel like there was a 12-point differential between those two teams if all things are equal.
I agree. I will say I covered a game where Ryan Shazier suffered a horrifying neck injury in that stadium.
Yeah.
And it cast a pall on the whole thing, on the whole proceedings. And then later in the game, you know, the Bengals blew a lead and lost. And you would think the opposite would have happened, where the Steelers were the demoralized team. And I'm only bringing that up because I do think the Bengals have, at least where I live in Pittsburgh, they have a reputation of being a team that still can't get out of its own way. And the fact that they won a game and were far from what their apex or what their peak is, I don't think that that's the worst thing in the world. Like, they are still clearly not passing the eye test. Coming out and putting points on the board early in a game against the Jets, you know, isn't the answer. But I think it's, given what happened in the game, I think the fact that you just got out of there with a win is enough.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, and I don't even really feel like we should spend much time on the football portion of that game.
Right, I agree with that.
But it was just because we say we're going to talk about every team in every game, just like from Cincy, they still aren't passing the eye test to me. But let's get to the Week 4 slate. We'll start with the Sunday night game, Chiefs Bucks. Anything about the hurricane and the conditions? Do you believe that that's a storyline that's going to actually impact on-field results here?
Well, it affected the line because the Bucks are a favorite again. So now that they don't think the game is going to get played in Minnesota or New Orleans, the Bucks are back to being a favorite. I want to see them win the game. I'm rooting for Tampa here. I'm going against, you know, your second team here in Kansas City. So Brady went and stayed with with Giselle in Miami. Is that what had to happen here? Like, did you track that part of this?
No, game? I did not.
You did not.
No.
So you have no interest in that whole soap opera situation with her.
I mean, listen, man, I click on the Page Six links. Like, you know, I'm a sucker for a scandal, just like anybody else. But
like, they've grown apart. They were staying in the same house in Miami, but they're not sleeping in the same bed.
Yeah, I mean, do you think that that's impacting Tom Brady on the field? It would seem reasonable, right? If you have a problem in your marriage, it's going to impact your workplace. He said, I'm 45. I got a lot of shit going on, right? Like he's a human being. Talking about a team that's not passing the eye test. Tampa's
offensively, yep.
Yeah, Tampa's offense, right, is not – their defense looks top three in the NFL, but their offense is not passing the eye test.
But I almost feel like he needs to have a game that shows Giselle, like, fuck you. This is why I'm still playing football. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I was putting a lot of time and energy into this podcast or this job and we weren't seeing any results, my wife might say to me, why the frig are you still doing this? I think he needs to have a game like that.
You think Tom Brady hasn't had enough results on the football field?
This year.
it's a what have you done for me lately?
It's football. It's a you should have stayed retired thing.
I understand that.
She did not want him to play this year. He has not played well this year. She's winning that argument. You disagree with that? Do you?
But okay.
That wouldn't be motivation for you? And he's getting his receivers back?
First of all, he doesn't need more motivation. Second of all,
he's always looking for more motivation, Danny.
He's won the argument, Pony. He's playing.
It's an ongoing argument. It's not over. Right now, she thinks she has the edge. You came back for this bullshit? Look at you.
She doesn't
score more than 12 points at home against the friggin' Packers?
She does not. I think to him, it was binary. Play or not play. He's playing. As long as he's playing, he feels like he has won the argument. The guy retired for like 6 hours. He did like one soccer practice into a dance recital, couldn't handle it, and was like, "I'm going back to two a day."
I think he's going to have a huge game. All eyes are going to be on him against Kansas City. Yeah,
this might shock you, but I like the Chiefs.
Yeah, okay. What else is new?
Yeah,
all right, Bills and Ravens. On Sunday, which quarterback, which MVP do you like more right now? MVP candidate, Allen Jackson.
Thank you for clarifying. I thought you meant Rashad Bateman. I think Lamar, what he is doing, is more impressive. I think that I Josh Allen, I trust more inherently.
Even after he wept on Tua?
Yeah. But I think what Lamar is doing, considering the supporting cast, who is admittedly playing better than I thought they would, and obviously we've talked about Andrews, he's amazing. 4 touchdowns in every game and doing it largely from the pocket for Lamar Jackson is incredible. Like, if you take most valuable player at its literal value, he gives more value to that team than I think any player in the NFL has given to their team through 3 weeks of the season. So to answer your question, I think the Bills are the better team and they're going to win the game, but Lamar has been the more valuable player and the more impressive player through 3 weeks.
Because I think I'm at a point now when I look at him and I look at them, I almost feel like he looks at, because didn't Ed Reed make some comment like you've got to make business decisions now? Like you've got to look at yourself as your own business. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So if you take that advice for what it is, don't you think that there might be games where he picks his spots? Like if they're playing.
Nothing that he's done this year has suggested that. I mean, he had what? Well, 6 carries in that first game.
Not yet, because it's only September.
Right, but normally the argument would be, like, don't run the ball in the games that don't matter as much, right?
Right, like, yeah, like Atlanta, like they play the Falcons or something like that, late in the year where they've already got a playoff spot pretty much sewn up.
Or early in the year where you're like, we're going to the playoffs, and, like, I'm going to say, you know, Josh Allen runs more in the postseason. Like, that type of thing, like in the biggest games. But I think what's happening with Lamar is – he keeps getting better.
Yeah.
Like we get these guys and we typecast them and we do it in all sports. And we're like, you are what our first impression of you was.
Well, that's what happened with Allen. Allen's first impression was not good. He wasn't an accurate quarterback. He kind of looked like he was just a big oaf who could run the ball and throw it a long way.
Right. And, but so I think maybe you get a second impression. And with Lamar, I mean, dude, he might throw for 40 touchdowns this year.
Yeah.
Like that, if Lamar Jackson throws for 40 touchdowns this year.
I love him in this game. I love him in this game. I think this is one of those situations where they're a home underdog. Like, he actually gets to go into a game where they're an underdog and people aren't picking them and they're not believing in them as much. And I also want to see what happens if Buffalo gets down in a game again. I think that there's some doubt is starting to creep in based on how they've played in close games the last 2 years.
I think that it's good for us. It's good for the league. It's good for there to be something to hang your hat on for a weakness for Buffalo, because first couple of games they looked like world beaters. And yeah, their record in one score games is bad. And if that starts to creep into their back of their mind, good. It's like when you know, in a boxing match, if the guy draws blood, he is a man. He's not a machine. Like, you can beat this team.
This is a Rocky IV reference that you just tried to slip in. Okay.
Yeah, I butchered it, but you understood them. As long as you got it, the point of language is to convey a thought. Commanders, Cowboys. Game's too high in the rundown, Pony. Is Cooper Rush making you a believer in this Cowboys team?
No, I think this is where the balloon pops. I think this is the moment where, you know, all
that
of the
defense, that defense stinks.
Exactly. Well, he's a backup quarterback. Like, is there a defense that is any NFL defense, one that's like so vulnerable or so bad that it's a given that a backup quarterback should be favored against an NFL defense with a quarterback that outside of one game has played decently well so far this year?
3 weeks ago, people would have said that Carson Wentz was going to get benched.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, this is a pretty good spot to keep it going. That's all. Like, I'm not a believer in Dallas. I'm not a believer in Cooper Rush. I told you this last week. Man, I want Michael Gallup to come back. He's good. They like I'm a big actions over words guy in the NFL. It's a salary cap sport. Like, money does the talking. They let Amari Cooper go and they paid that dude $60 million when he was hurt. So is he awesome? Because he had flashes, but he had flashes like when the offense was really good and he was the third guy. Is he awesome? I think he might be. And so that's what gives me a little bit of hope for Dallas, is that, and by the way, Ian Rappaport keeps talking about that Dak could play in the Rams game. Cowboys.
Is that
Rams
next week?
Yeah. He's like, that's in play, which seems insane. So if all I have to do to believe in Dallas, if like believing in Dallas is they can make the wild card, then sure, I believe in Dallas. Because I think that Cooper Rush can beat Washington. And if Dak comes back next week, then like...
Yeah, but we didn't like the Cowboys before the season started with Dak.
Yeah, but the NFC sucks.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Dude, who's good? Philly's good. Green Bay's good. Who else is good?
Rams.
Okay, that's who I would have said third also.
Okay. You're looking for more teams for me?
Yeah, right. Like, we assume Tampa will be okay decently.
Okay.
Like, that's four. There's three more spots.
Yeah. Yeah, but we knew the NFC sucked before the season started. And I guess two like more Dallas. Spots
is someone. Oh, no. Tampa would be NFC South. Yeah.
Yep.
Things wide open. What's the next game? Oh, Patriots, Packers. Brian Hoyer, the biggest dog on the board. He covering this 9.5. He keeping it close.
So I heard a stat today that Belichick has been an underdog of more than eight points 19 times in his career, and he's covered 15 of those games.
Wow.
Do you buy into shit like that?
I mean,
that's a lot of games.
Yeah, that's more than a season's worth of sample. It's like the Andy Reid off the bye stat. It's like, well, when he's fucking 18-3-1 against the spread out of a bye, like, I kind of believe it. So that's impressive. Our guy Spencer says that Brian Hoyer hasn't won a start since 2016. I think the Packers are really, really good. And I think that the Patriots, even though they flashed some moments of offensive competence last week, which to me said a little bit more about Baltimore than them, I still think they're real, real bad. And if Brian Hoyer was behind Mac Jones, I got to assume they're going to be even worse. So I'll go against the trend.
I think this is a Rodgers jitters game.
Oh, stop.
It is. Like, Rodgers, we've seen, like, in last year's playoffs and even the year before that, there is a nervous energy to Rodgers in certain moments that Peyton Manning would be prone to this at times. Like, for whatever reason, he just gets in his own head sometimes. And I honestly think the reverence that he has for Belichick on the other sideline fucks with him in games like this. I think he tries to be too perfect. I think he tries to go out of his way to impress people. And I think this is one of those games where everyone's all of the pressure's on him. He's supposed to have, they have this huge quarterback advantage in this game. It's at Lambeau. Like, I think he gets wrapped up in shit like this more than most star players do.
I think that is, I mean, he's clearly in his own head. Obviously, I'm with you on that. But at some point, talent wins, man. New England doesn't have much of it. And I was super impressed by Green Bay. I think what is happening to Green Bay is exactly what happened last year. They were awful week one, and then they're going to go on a run. Like, I think they're going to be 7-8, 9-1. Like, I think they are going to just get better and better. Seven different guys with multiple catches in that game last week after looking like he had chemistry with no one to throw the ball to in week one. That's a pretty remarkable improvement in just 2 weeks. So I think the Packers roll. Vikings-Saints, either of these teams a dark horse in the NFC?
I can't come on here every week and flip-flop and go back and forth on Minnesota. So I'm going to stay off them and just admit that I was wrong. Not a lot of people – don't you think a lot of people in this business would be better off if they just said, I fucked up and I got a prediction wrong and just owned it right from the very beginning?
Well, you know who does that?
Gamblers. I do. Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah, me too. People like my audience and my co-workers, my producers and Spiegel, like co-hosts, they're always like, man, you get a lot of things wrong. Parkins pick of death. You're such a mush. I'm like, yeah, because I actually, A, have opinions, and B, I gamble. I get a lot of shit wrong. Like, you want to know who knows that I get things wrong? My bookie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we get things wrong. I am
on an unreal heater right now, by the way. Probably one of the best in my entire life.
Good for you. Share some winners.
Yeah. No, I'm afraid to do that now. I feel like if I give you proprietary bet, it's going to blow up once I publicize it.
Well, are these winners documented anywhere?
Yeah, they are. They actually are, and I probably now jinxed it by bringing it up with you on the show. But no, look.
Well, this is a show that we're doing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, right. Thank you for reminding me of that.
Well, I'm just saying.
First and pod. One ST Aprasan POD.
That's correct.
So anyways.
That's correct.
I just saw on NFL Network a sit down with Jameis like he's going to play in this game. I thought that they weren't practicing him and they were going to go with Dalton, which I think makes more sense. I'm not the biggest Andy Dalton fan, and he isn't. Spencer can probably look up a stat on him on how many games he's won in the last 5 years. It's not a good number. But
no, I mean he won a couple last year for the Bears, but he was bad.
Their defenses look good. New Orleans defense has played well for three games.
Dude, I thought their defense before the year was good. That's why I bet them at +350 to win.
So just spread the ball around and don't throw fucking 5 second half interceptions, and they'll beat Minnesota in London on Sunday.
Yeah,
I play Dalton. And if he's got a fractured back, like if Jameis takes the same hit Tua did, okay, and is down and doesn't get up, don't we say the same shit about them? They're letting the guy play with a broken back.
Yeah, I mean, obviously the NFL doesn't care about backs as much as they pretend to care about concussions.
Well, educate people on backs. Your back was all fucked up. Not fun.
Yeah, still is. It's terrible. There's nothing worse than having a bad back. I'm sure there is, but it's...
Wait, you still have a bad back now?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I had about 5 surgeries in high school, and, you know, I still have scoliosis, and, you know, it hurts, man. But
are you taking prescription pills and shit for it?
I would love to. But it's all natural, this body that you see, Pony. Okay. I don't even drink coffee. You know that.
Oh, you just smoke a ton of weed.
That's right. Yourself, hey, which that. Is natural.
Yeah. All right. So do you agree with me on this game or no?
I think that the Saints offense is broken. And I think that there is a higher ceiling for Minnesota's offense if they can figure it out. Like, which of these, like, if it is dark horse team, whose best is best? I think Minnesota's best can be better than this version of New Orleans' best, because I think their offense can be a 30-point-per-game offense.
Danny, you love your family, big into stocks, playing markets. You've made references with terms and used words that are stock terms on the show that you've had to clarify and define for me.
Sure.
You're buying a stock for the next 5 years. Do you want the Bears or Giants who play on Sunday?
I want the Bears. And they're neither one's a very valuable stock.
Yeah, I know. You're buying low on both.
Yeah, we're not talking about Apple or NVIDIA here. I think you want... Daniel Jones has no shot at being good. Justin Fields has a very small shot at being good. So... I'll take the chance that in-house you've got the guy, and the Giants are playing well enough in a year where they're going to have to move on from quarterback.
Yeah.
Where they're not going to be bad enough to get the top guy. So that is a disastrous scenario. For getting it right. Like if they win seven games this year, 8 games, the top 3 quarterback prospects are going to be off the board. So they're going to either be forced to move a mountain to move up, and then that depletes your assets, or they're going to be forced to draft not a top flight prospect that has an even lower chance at a hit rate to find their guy. So I just think, like, if you need to go get a... And by the way, the Bears, you could say, were the same thing. Like, the Bears had to trade a first-round pick to the Giants to move up to 11 to get Fields, who was the fourth quarterback taken in that thing, right? So, like, that... My argument could work against the Bears also, but at least Fields still hasn't failed completely yet. It's trending that way, but he hasn't failed yet. So, given that they still have hope in-house, I mean, their offensive coordinator today... referred to Justin Fields as being like a rookie, which is crazy because that's something normally fans say, not coaches say, for second-year players.
Holy cow.
Yeah. So Like they think that they are way closer to the starting line than the finish line with him. And objectively, they are. The guy's only got 12 NFL starts, three in this offense. So I'd buy Bear stock, but neither one of them is very valuable.
Quick take on the Giants end of things.
Yeah.
I am scared to death that Saquon Barkley continues to play like this and the Giants extend him. Yes. And I think that that's on the table right now. So that's the thing I'm worried about, is that he continues to look like he has found his rookie form, and the Giants say, he's the number two overall pick. Let's pay him $12 million a year. And that ends up setting the organization back.
Yeah, that would be foolish. They should probably trade him right now.
Broncos Raiders. Do the Raiders deserve to be favored in this game?
Honestly, neither team deserves to be favored.
That wasn't the question.
I understand that. This should be a pick 'em. Is my answer to you. Like, Nathaniel Hackett's incompetent, and Josh McDaniels might be worse. Is that possible?
No, he's not. He's not worse.
He's not worse in game. He's not worse in game. Nathaniel Hackett's the worst in game that we've seen in a decade.
That's what I mean. McDaniels isn't that bad of a game.
Well, right, but there's other parts to it. Hello, you're supposed to be scheming up the offense here. Can you throw the ball to Devontae Adams? You traded a lot for him. Give the guy double-digit targets, please. Can you put a tight end to protect your statue of a quarterback? Can we put a little bit of help on to keep this guy upright, to give him some time? Can we scheme something creative in the running game, please? Like, McDaniels has not been impressive with these offensive game plans, man. That's a bigger part of coaching. Like, we focus on the in-game stuff because we all, like, get high and play Madden. But you're supposed to, over the course of the 5 days that you live in the office, game planning for a specific opponent, you're supposed to exploit weaknesses. Haven't seen much of that from the Raiders. And the Broncos, I think their defense is pretty good. Like, their coach is an idiot, but I think their defense is pretty good. So I meant it when I said it. I don't think either team deserves to be favored. I think it should be a pick 'em. So if I had to pick this game, I would take the Broncos with points, but I have a rule. I'm not religious, but it's against my religion to bet on Nathaniel Hackett. Seriously. So it's it's an unbettable game, but the Raiders stink. The Raiders are pathetic. We way oversold the AFC West. Way oversold it.
Well, we were drinking the Chargers punch and getting drunk off of that big time.
Oh, I think we were right on that.
They're just cursed.
Yeah. These are the two teams that we oversold.
Well, we didn't oversell Denver. We were telling people to stay away from Denver.
Don't shoot us. You're right, but I'm saying
you're attacking the media in general. Don't come after us on that.
And just like the collective talent of the quarterbacks and the historic nature of the division, that stuff. But no, I would like the Broncos in this game.
Cardinals and Panthers, Oklahoma, number one overall picks. Kyler, how much better is he than Baker Mayfield? Is there a wide divide between those two quarterbacks?
Yes.
There is?
Yeah, man. What can Baker do that's special?
One guy has a playoff win and the other guy doesn't.
Oh, wow. Cool. Great. We're measuring wins now as quarterback stats on this podcast. That's a thing that's happening.
I knew you were going to get pissed off by that. That's why I brought it up. You hate shit like that.
Baker Mayfield. What does Baker Mayfield do that's special? What trait does he have that's special?
Moxie.
Oh, Moxie. Stop it. Moxie and quarterback wins.
But in all seriousness, though, I mean, I don't remember if it was like part of the general discourse of whatever you guys were talking about in Chicago. But when Mayfield went one and Allen went where, like seventh or eighth, were you saying shit like, why are they drafting this pipsqueak, like, bad attitude quarterback with the number one pick?
No.
No, okay.
No, were you?
I didn't like Mayfield, but I also wasn't convinced that a guy from Wyoming was going to be
right. But I'm also admittedly, I'm not grinding 100 hours of college film.
Well, then Malcolm Gladwell at Thin Slice, the motherfucker. You're allowed to do that.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Right? That's what we do. What's your first impression of the guy?
No, my first impression of Josh Allen was, holy shit, that's a ballsy pick, but clearly has all the traits. And Baker Mayfield was crazy productive. But the 2-point conversion throw 2 weeks ago in week two for Kyler is a play that three or four guys in the NFL can make.
Yep.
And Baker Mayfield ain't one of them. So like Baker doesn't have a physical skill or trait that is near the level of what Kyler can do. And so I think that Kyler, I don't think that Kyler is a top eight quarterback in the NFL, but I think that he can on a given day be special. And I don't think Baker Mayfield can be.
So if you gave Andy Reid Baker Mayfield, would it look like the Alex Smith offense or would it be even worse than that?
I think it'd be a little worse than that. I don't think that he's like, I think Alex Smith is elite between the years. Like the ability to execute a game plan, snap, throw, keep the ball out of harm's
way. He won
a
division with like a leg that needed to be amputated.
Right. Yeah. So no, I think Baker Mayfield is a, you know, a fringe NFL starter for another year or two. I don't think he's starting in the NFL in 3 or 4 years.
Seahawks and Lions. Do you trust Detroit to rebound at home against Seattle? Do you trust them?
Are there skill position guys playing?
Swift probably is, and it's going to be Jamal Williams.
I think Swift matters. And what about Brown?
I think he's playing.
He matters a lot. Like,
yes, he does. He's a top 10 receiver right now.
Yeah, and those two
guys. And he can name all the guys that got picked out of him at wide receiver, and his dad gave him a crazy name, and there was a great HBO Real Sports on that. Did you watch that?
I did not watch that, but I love guys who can name everybody who was picked in front of him. Draymond can do 1 through 34. I love that shit.
What if we did that with sports talk show hosts that were like making more money than us?
I pretty much do. Yeah, I pretty much do. It's not healthy.
Yeah, I'm learning that you're really a bad, your back is still fucked. You hold the grudge. You're jealous.
Yeah.
You don't really sleep that much. You're not a healthy person at all.
No. Are you?
My neck is so screwed up right now, dude. I don't know what to do about it. I went to a chiropractor and it hasn't made a difference yet. I'm very worried.
Yeah, no, come on. It doesn't bother you when people you know suck, have awesome jobs, and make 3 to 10x what you make?
That's why I drink.
Yeah, exactly.
So you don't trust Detroit to rebound, because I don't either.
I think here's what I will say. I like the over. I think that both of these teams' defenses are not good enough yet. I think that the Lions have some pieces and will be a good defense. Mm-hmm. But I think this is a high scoring game, and if the Lions skill position guys played, I'd pick them. But I'd rather just take over 48 and not have to pick a winner in this game. So are you on Seattle? You said you don't.
Yeah.
Trust.
Yeah. I don't trust Detroit. Okay. Yeah.
Jets Steelers. I asked Boomer Esiason on the show this week if Zach Wilson was an upgrade over Joe Flacco. He said, yeah, probably, because he's mobile. The point spread doesn't necessarily agree.
You guys are covering all the bases with Boomer in Chicago, where you're asking him Zach Wilson questions.
Can I tell you?
Tip of the cap to you, my friend.
It was the last question, and I said, this question is brought to you by Should I Bet Steelers -3?
What did he say to that?
He said he'd find value elsewhere, because Zach Wilson was a wild card and whatever. But do you believe that Zach Wilson saved the Jets?
No, I want to believe in a guy that had the balls to have sex with his hot mom, hot friend, right? His hot mom's hot friend.
That is what the internet believes. Yes.
And it ruined her marriage. And Zach Wilson's ex-girlfriend was the one.
God, you are like the TMZ of sports.
This is a great story. You're missing out, man.
Giselle's not sleeping in her marital bed.
You don't think this is a huge story?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I think that
your mom's best friend, dude. And they're Mormon, I think, right? He went to BYU, which really brings a whole new level to it.
He did go to BYU. I have no idea if he's Mormon.
They're called the Cougars. I mean, you couldn't make this up.
You know, incredible copy. That part was great.
Yeah.
That part was great. Spencer has all of the details. He says Zach Wilson's ex now dates his best friend from BYU. Are these guys gunning for a reality show?
This is a Netflix show.
Yeah. Does my wife binge watch Zach Wilson,
let's get Nick
a real
Lachey
life story?
On this case, yeah. So I want to like the guy, but I don't see it. I think he's too small. I think he's too soft. I don't think the Jets offensive line.
He's got a big arm
enough.
Though.
No, he does.
That's what makes me like completely not write him off. Like,
well, that's why he was the number two pick, because of that arm. But I
get it. Like it's the Josh Allen thing. It's like when you see that guy throw a football, you're like, that little guy can do that. Okay. Yeah. I'm interested.
Yeah. But
so
I think
he's more interested in watching him than Flacco.
100%. I think he wowed everybody in the pro day. I don't put a lot of stock in that, but yeah. No, I don't think he's going to 3-10.
Gonna win?
No, they're not.
That's not good.
Well, yeah, it is, because maybe that means Pickett will play sooner rather than later. It wouldn't be the end of the world. Chargers, Texans. Are the Chargers on upset alert again, Danny? Are we going to lose to two AFC South teams in back-to-back weeks, Jags and Texans?
I mean, the whole thing is just graded on an asterisk or with a curve. Like, J.C. Jackson, Joey Bosa, Corey Linsley, Rashawn Slater, Keenan Allen.
But he'll be back, I think. I think Allen's going to play.
Okay, great. That's a center, a left tackle, a receiver, a corner, and a pass rusher.
Yeah, I don't care. You still got to go to Houston.
And the quarterback has a rib injury.
I don't care if he broke every rib. You got to go to Houston and win.
I know. I agree with you. And I think that they will. And I think that Herbert is a tough son of a bitch. And is gonna play well. Like I think that he is so good and such a talent that I think he is going to play well. And I think that Eckler has a monster game. I think they win by double digits. But we're talking about being screwed just by like our investment in the Chargers. They arguably have the most talented roster in the whole league. And if you were to rank them 1 through 52, like Herbert being one, obviously, but he's also hurt. Like, six of their top 8 or 9 players have suffered serious injuries, and it's week 4. It's fucking nuts.
These teams are so desperate to win. I really think if these teams were looking at the bigger picture with Tua, with Herbert, and even to a lesser extent, Jameis, these guys wouldn't be playing. You'd think you'd want to protect your greatest investment, your quarterback, but these teams want to win so bad, they're just throwing these guys out there with horrible injuries.
Well, they said
it's nuts, man.
Well, they said that the Herbert thing is just going to linger, that it's just like, it's going to be here. Well, so you can't sit him for 6 weeks if it's just a pain tolerance issue. So, I mean, I don't know if he's going to wear like that extra padding around his ribs.
Can it get worse?
Dude, that's what I'm talking about when we were talking about the thing earlier with Tua. And you mentioned it with Jameis. Like, we're not doctors. I don't know. I have no idea if it can get worse. And you don't either. But we all just pretend like we know. I will agree that he should not have been playing when they were down 4 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. That's ridiculous. But, like, can he make this injury worse? I don't know. And no one – you don't either.
Titans, Colts. Are you back on the Colts bandwagon?
I think people are getting like a little ahead of themselves with Jacksonville. And I love Trevor Lawrence. So I still think the Colts are the best roster in that division. So, but everyone just keeps betting the Jaguars. They jumped the Titans for AFC South odds, and they're now lower.
I told you that would happen.
Yeah, and now they're lower than 2-1. I think they're like +190 to win it. So I still think the Colts are the best team. And I think they're going to figure out, I mean, Taylor's fourth in the NFL in rushing, but he hasn't been that impressive. Like, I think that they're going to get him going and Ryan's going to get more and more comfortable there. And obviously they were also decimated by injuries early and are getting guys back. So like the Colts are better than the Titans. I know that. And I think that the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence is going to be a top 10 quarterback in this league before too long. But I think people are kind of just conflating it all him there before he's there yet.
I think the Colts are just due for a good game. Yeah. Like, I remember when Peyton Manning first got to Denver. Remember, like, it took him, I think they were, like, down 3 touchdowns in, like, the 4th game he was there. It might have been against, like, the Chargers. And, at halftime of that game, it looked like he was done. And then he, like, something clicked in the second half. They won the game. And then from then on out, he threw, like, 40-something touchdown passes. I'm not predicting that Matt Ryan is, you know, Peyton Manning in 2014 or whatever. But at the same time, I also think that he's not as bad as the quarterback we've seen for 3 weeks. And you have to give a guy time that spent the amount of time he did in another organization. So I think they'll blow out the Titans, but you and me think the Titans suck and pick against them pretty much every week on this show.
Yeah. Confirmation bias. I've been putting the rundown together on Sundays and you've been doing it on Thursdays. I like this rhythm that we're falling into.
Yes.
Why is Jaguars Eagles here? What are you doing to me? What's happening?
Because this is another way for us to blast the shitty job that CBS is doing. How is this Spiro Ditas?
No.
Yes.
No.
This is only going, I looked at 506 today. This is only going to Jacksonville and Philadelphia. Nobody's getting the game outside of those two markets. They're sending like their last broadcast team to do this game. They are treating this game like it's the worst game of the fucking week, man. And
is it because
100%? It's a 1 o'clock below everything game.
Oh, so because they've got the national, so because they have the Packers game, because they have the 3:25, the 4:25 Eastern game, so they don't have like widespread distribution in the 1 o'clock Eastern slot.
But no, like, but what? I'm saying outside of like, so you have Buffalo and Baltimore.
Right. So they chose Buffalo, Baltimore for the widespread 1 o'clock game. And then they have Packers at 3:25 where they're sending Nance and Romo.
So Nance and Romo are doing a game that if we did the rankings, the last 2 weeks would have been like the 7th or 8th game on the board, maybe worse than that. And I don't get it.
You do. Like, there are more Packers fans.
Okay.
And so there are more Patriots fans.
Right. So this week I get, because that's a 4:25 game. Last week when the Colts and Chiefs played at the same time as the Bills and Dolphins, it made no sense to not send Nance and Romo to the Bills and Dolphins game.
I agree. I mean, Chiefs like a slightly bigger brand because of like the Mahomes thing. But yeah, last week was egregious. You're right. I had no idea this was a Spiro Ditas game. It shouldn't even be that, right? It should be there. If Ian Eagle should have the Bills and Bills game. And then why isn't this a Harlan game? Where's my guy Kevin going?
He's at Raiders Broncos at 4:25 and like nobody's getting that game.
Oh, that's criminal.
Yep.
Harlan needs to be on this game.
Do you think that this kind of TV stuff, do you think that this is only shit that people like you and me care about? Or do you think the vast majority of football fans actually care about this stuff?
Not the vast majority.
Okay, that's why I put this down near the bottom then.
Okay. Well, there's a football point or two that are interesting about this game. We don't have to make the same mistake that CBS made.
Okay, so what's the football point that you want to make about it?
We have seen Trevor Lawrence the last 2 weeks look great. But the Eagles have made every team they've played play below their offensive expectation.
Yeah.
This is the game. Like, what? Kirk Cousins couldn't get the ball to Justin Jefferson and Dalvin Cook and Adam Thielen, right? The Cowboys couldn't do anything. What can Trevor Lawrence do against the team that arguably has been the most impressive team in the NFL.
Yeah.
Through 3 weeks. It's an awesome measuring stick game for where he is, because people, like, again, I love Trevor Lawrence, but Washington's defense is atrocious. So, like, saying, like, he's taken the leap and he's turned a corner and all of that stuff, when it's a decimated Chargers team with nobody in the building and a Washington team that stinks defensively, this is different. This is a if he is even competitive in this game, right? If they lose by three and he has 280 yards and a couple of touchdowns, Trevor Lawrence is here. Like, it is, he is here and it is established. So I am fascinated to see, even if they lose, how does he look against a team that has made everyone they've played look uncomfortable?
Well, I think Doug Peterson will attack this game the same way Pete Carroll did that game against Russ. I think he hates the way things ended there. I think he felt like he got railroaded by the GM and the owner turned his back on him. And, you know, he did their dirty work at the end of that season, kind of throwing that week 17 game, and then they still fired him. I think he wants to go in there and win by 100. So, you know, that's the, like, I think he has good a luck. Visceral dislike for that organization. So that's another juicy subplot. The only thing I could come up with for Browns and Falcons was for us to check in on your Nick Chubb future. Do you feel good about him leading the NFL in rushing?
Yeah, it's going exactly how I thought it was going to.
I know. And I feel like not enough people, when you're close to getting something in, like something big, right? I feel like people usually with you try to fluff that off or like push that under the rug. And I don't want to be guilty of that as long as I'm doing the show with you.
I did a Bet Rivers video on it before the season.
Yeah.
And I said it in our AFC pod.
Right.
11 to 1. He's leading the NFL in rushing.
Yeah. So I'm trying to show you some love and just.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not going to spike the ball yet, but it was a good bet. And what's crazy is it's Saquon behind him, followed by Cordero Patterson, and then the guy, and then Jonathan Taylor and Christian McCaffrey. So, you know, these are blue chip guys that are right there, and it's obviously early. They didn't trade Kareem Hunt, which was a little bit of where I thought there was some value, but he's so clearly better. I mean, Kareem Hunt is a good football player, obviously, but Chubb, the guy squats like 1 million pounds. I've like never seen him fall on his back. He is unbelievably powerful. Like that game last week where they were down inside the 2-yard line and they gave it to Hunt, and then they gave it to Hunt, and then they brought in Chubb on fourth down. I was like, oh yeah, there he is. Mm-hmm. Like, he's awesome. So it's going exactly how I planned, and I am looking forward to winning a few $1,000s.
I'll just say this very briefly about Atlanta, is that I think when they get Ridley back from, you know, putting parlays together, and they have London and they have Pitts, like, if I'm a rookie quarterback, I would not. If I'm like going through the process of where I'm going to end up, like a Stroud or a Richardson or one of those guys, plus it's a cool city. That's not a bad, like, next year destination for a rookie quarterback.
No, it's great one.
Yeah.
And a dome.
Yep.
And Brady's going to retire.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Carolina's in a state of upheaval.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. London looks awesome. And Pitts is crazy talented. Yeah, I agree. I agree completely. All right, good stuff. First in cool, pod, man. Subscribe, rate, review. Mike McDaniel said, when asked about Sunday's injury, quote, "I have absolutely zero patience for, or would I ever put a player in harm's way. That's not what I'm about at all."
Yeah, he's not going to catch any flack.
We'll see. We'll see. I think everyone's going to catch some heat for this, but... All right, Pony, I'll talk to you Sunday night after Chiefs and Bucks.
Sounds good, dude. Yep.
All right, thanks to Spencer Ray, our producer. Talk to you guys on Sunday.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.